Well, you've got that sheet that's there. I just asked you to put it aside just for a little while. I know it's hard to listen to me while you're trying to look at the pictures there. We're going to have plenty of pictures, yes, but then the other verbiage that's on there. But we'll have plenty of time for that. But I want to preach to you for just a little while, a few short minutes, and then I'll give you something from the Word of God, and then I want to just have a family meeting. It is live streamed. Everything is being sent out, so it's not like we're just here by ourselves. But I do want to go over our church family, and I want you to know as we come through in this process, I want you to be aware of everything that's going on. There's so much that's been done, and some of it's redundant and boring, and you wouldn't want to know because there's just been a lot of work, prep work getting up to this point. But I don't want there to ever feel like you're a member of this church and you're here as part of the church family. And so, well, I wish I knew that. You just have to ask. I try to give you these things. You don't have to ask. But in case that we miss something, then all you have to do is just ask. So I want you to look, though. I'll get to that in just a bit. But I want to look at what we are continuing to do in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, it's talking about the early church there. And as they're really getting the wheels are turning, and they've gone from this scared group of disciples that are afraid to even get out of the house or rooms to now they're going to launch out and just be these powerhouses of God. But we look at the church there in that day, and in verse number 41, they were those who were gladly received his word were baptized, and they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. But now we're going to look in verse number 42 of Acts 2. And see that they continued steadfastly, meaning they kept on doing what they had been doing up until that point. The influx of people was a wonderful thing. You think it's hard to assimilate some people coming into a church, and God has brought people. Folks, some have been saved, and others God has brought from other areas and just plopped them down here. And that is a wonderful testimony of what God's doing as well. If God moves on the hearts of people and he picks them up and moves them in here, then that means that there's a purpose for why they're coming, and so we rejoice in that. And so we see, though, this group of people, they are continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and of prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And they that believed were together. They had that unity and had all things common. And we remember the story. I preached this passage before. But I want to give you a few things about this early church. What were they doing? They were continuing in the apostles' doctrine. That's what they were doing. And I think about this, as God launches us out to do more than we've done before, and as he launches us out, and I believe that he will launch us out to put a building out here so that we can do a better job at reaching people and do a greater service to our community. And you understand, sometimes it sounds like when pastors say that they're here for the betterment of the area. Well, we are here for the betterment of the area, but not because we're selling hot dogs and that gives people something to do for lunch. We instead are here for the betterment because we are continually proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ, that he is the only way of salvation. So we are, I don't want to toot our own horn, but they say that whoever he that tooteth not his own horn has a horn that will forever be untooted. I don't want us to toot our own horn, but we are doing a better service. And I don't want to be arrogant, I'm joking here, you know, but this part is true. We are doing a better service to our community than if we were selling some product to the area. And I thank God for every Christian businessman. There are several here in the room tonight. And I thank God for every one of the businessmen, businesswomen. But our product is not something that we make and provide. Our product, as my pastor always says, is people. And we're looking to lead more folks to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then we're trying to find those that are saved but haven't grown in their faith either. And we want to help them mature in that. So the purpose of what this old church is here is to do what the church in the book of Acts was doing. And so what was that? Number one, they were continuing in the apostles' doctrine. You say, well, what is that doctrine? Well, the scriptures clearly say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the most concise spot where the gospel is given. For I delivered unto you, Paul tells the Corinthians, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, number one, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, number two, and that he rose again the third day, number three, according to the scriptures. The most concise proclamation of the gospel, because the gospel is not that Jesus went to the cross and died as a sacrifice for our sins. That's only part of it. Because if that had been what would happened, then that would be a nice, heartwarming story, but there wouldn't be salvation in that. That would just be a sacrificial death. Although that's moving, that's not salvation. The gospel continues that after that death, placed in the grave, but then up from the grave he arose, as the song goes. He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and that is the gospel in one little bow on a in a package. And so what the message of the apostles, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Not only in the apostles' doctrine, the Bible says they continued that, but also and in fellowship. Meaning that they had that, again, I've mentioned this in a service not too long ago, the world would call it community now. Well, God was calling it fellowship a long time ago, but it was a community, meaning that there were people that came together and they had common interests and they had some similarities and they had things pulling them together. And these Christians, these early Christians, they had that fellowship. And in that day, the fellowship was so reviving and refreshing to them because the world was condemning them for their faith in Jesus Christ. And I hate to say that we might have a spot in our world or in our nation, either it is in other parts of the world, they're the fellowship you have is because the world hates so much on your God. But regardless, they continued in their fellowship, coming together. And so our church, and that's really one of the reasons why I'm going to bring to you tonight what we've been bringing to you in months for now, but that is our fellowship that I believe is needed. It's hard even in a group this size, and there's not as many in here tonight as there was this morning, but it's hard in a group this size for somebody to say, Pastor, could I just share a word of testimony of what God's doing in my life? It's hard in this group because there's so many here, but we did have that happen in Sunday school this morning. Could I share a prayer request with you is a common phrase in one of our Sunday school classes. Would you mind praying for... Could you help me pray this week for this test that's coming up or for this situation at my job? Those are common phrases that are in our Sunday school department. And I challenge you, if you're not involved in one of the Sunday school, that you get involved because it's that great place to have that community or, as the Bible calls it, fellowship. And so what was the early church doing? They were continuing the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, the Bible says, and in breaking of bread. They were eating together. They were having the Lord's table together also. They were doing all of these things and in prayers. And so that early church was doing what we are trying now, striving to continue doing. Preaching the same message, continuing in the same vein and same fashion that not only this church has been. Sometimes we think, oh, that's such an old church. This church is just new compared to how long this message has been being proclaimed. This has just been a couple 245, 50 years. This message was being proclaimed for centuries. Same old message. Oh, sure, it's changed a little, not the message, but the delivery's changed a little bit. Sometimes it's been in underground spots where it was illegal. Sometimes it's been in brush arbors where they would literally just pile some brush up and make a little break from the wind or the elements and have a brush arbor meeting. Sometimes it's been held in storefronts and surroundings have changed, but the message has been the same. And so as we get ready to see what the Lord would have us do as a church, we want to be certain that the message always stays the same of the Lord Jesus Christ. And never do we get away from that. I can tell you this, that sometimes people get all hung up on how folks come to church as far as how they're dressed, men with a tie or a suit. And I can tell you this, I know folks, they don't own a suit. If they came to church and that was a requirement, they'd have to buy one before they came. And I certainly don't think that's a necessity. If we want to get too old-fashioned, we'd have to go back to some of the early settlers. What do you think they were wearing in 1779? Well, Lord help me, I hope they weren't wearing these. Man, I don't know when those come along or when they became more proper that, but we'd have to go back a long way. So you understand that we can get on a crazy thought process if we say, well, we're going to stand the way we've always stood. Well, you can imagine in the 1700s, the 1800s, that people were lucky, if you want to look at it that way, to have a couple of sets of work clothes, let alone any kind of dress clothes to get dressed up in. My dad was born in 1939. He didn't live here, but West Virginia, our rural part of West Virginia, was a lot like the area here. Dad had two sets of clothes. Mama was washing one set while he wore the others for a few days. And that's where our people are from, too. And so I'm saying that maybe I was going to say some of these things next week, but it just give it to you now. Miss Janine was saying the other night, well, by the looks of that drawing out there, I might have to get fancier clothes. And I can tell you this, she was joking, of course, but I can tell you this, that our church does not need to be known for what you have to do in order to come. Whether that sits well with some of us or not, honestly, we need to be more concerned about people coming to church, and the Lord can work on them. Because I might be sitting there in a suit and tie, I might be in a three-piece suit and long tail coat, and be as far away from God as I possibly could be. And somebody else over there in a bit of clothes that you won't think is appropriate, but they're seeking God. And I hate to say it, but I'd take the one that's seeking the Lord. So I say that the early church, they were continuing in the apostles' doctrine. And whatever God allows us to do, that's what I always want to do. I want our church to be focused on the gospel, and I want our church to be focused on the message of what thus saith the Lord. I've got it written somewhere here. I may not be able to find it, but one of the things that I always want our church, and I wrote this before I was here, but any ministry that I spend my time in, then I want it to be having the gospel, soul-winning presentation, going after people. I want that to be a central focus of what we do. Because if we don't have that, then why are we even here? You know, there's plenty of places that we could go and have the community that I was talking about. There's plenty of places that we could go and have camaraderie. But we want a church that just is continually after the souls of people to show them their need of a Savior. So tonight, we want to reposition ourselves as the church that's after people. I'm not after you to look like me. I'm not after you to follow a certain set of rules, but I am after all of us being after all of the souls of people in our area. That's got to be our thrust. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, I pray that we would always be a church that is after souls. Dear Lord, this world is crazily running off course, it seems. But that's not our area. Lord, our area is to proclaim the message to get anybody back on course for God's will for their life. Because you said you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when somebody is out of sorts, the way to get them back in sorts is to get on the will of God for their life, and that is to be saved. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here tonight not sure they're saved, that tonight would be the night that they would come to faith. And then, dear Lord, I pray we as a group right here that we would pray together and all stay on message, all stay on point, all stay on mission. And as we do that and the ladies play something through for us, I'm just going to have you stay seated right there, and you could come to the front. You're always welcome to. But I'd really love for you to do some praying right there in your seat. And you'd pray with me that this old church would stay on mission, on message. It's so easy for us to get off message, get consumed with something that matters not. But let's get back to the message of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that truth of the gospel is the gospel dynamite that will save souls. Would you pray together with me? Lord, help us to be a church that stays on point, stays focused, stays on mission, stays continuing in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. As they continue to play, if you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved, my friend, would you just kindly step out from where you are? And I know it's a little intimidating, but I'd love to just take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. As we wait just a moment, if God's work on your heart, don't leave this moment without doing business with Him.